Welcome to Binary Jazz.
It's no less funny when we all know it's coming, is it?
No, it's not. It's,
or
no.
No less annoying.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's the thing.
Yeah, sorry, I'm distracted. Yeah, we're good. Hi, welcome to Binary Jazz. It's a podcast with a bunch of people that are definitely not staring at GitHub. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet. I am here with my friends Gary, Binary Gary on the Internet, and Allison Plus on the Internet. And we answer questions that are submitted to us by our many listeners who have questions on the internet that they want answered. That's what we do here on Binary Jazz. We are a advice show. 100%.
We're a fine-tuned machine.
Finely tuned advice show.
Yep. Okay, well, should I submit a question or can I just ask one here
directly? You can just ask one, Gary.
I have this poster of Atlantis that I have magneted over my breaker box that has often been in the background of videos. And I would like to have it framed. And I'm struggling, but I have not had it framed yet because I'm struggling with, do I want to pay for an enormous frame that centers it and makes it look super important, but really just serves to cover the breaker box? Or do I have it framed in the appropriate size frame with no, you know, super extra matting that makes it look, you know, less important? That's where I am. That's the question. What do I do? Do I use this as an opportunity to cover the breaker box, or do I say frame this the correct way and find something else to cover the damn breaker box, Gary? I'm open to your thoughts.
If the goal is to cover the breaker box, why do you want to cover the breaker box?
Well, because when I sit over there, let me show you.
What else can you cover the breaker box with?
I mean, anything. Here's the breaker box. And see, like, how beautiful it is with this, like, you know, torn up little wall there.
No, I think you should, I mean.
I feel like if you...
You also need access to the breaker box.
Right.
Well, yeah. But if I just put like a little like pin up there.
Yeah.
Right?
If you hook it to something.
It's also not straight, which is cool. I don't know if you can tell that, but it's like slanted a little.
If it's in a frame and it is hanging, whatever size that means to cover the breaker box, if you don't want to look at the breaker box, that is the thing that you should do.
I just feel like this view is a little like unprofessional. I mean, I say as I'm kicked back in like a comfy chair. So maybe it actually doesn't matter. Maybe I'm overthinking this, and maybe the answer is like, just leave the magnet that's holding it in place.
No, you should frame it.
Okay, I will frame it.
I mean, if it's possible,
yeah,
to have a magnet that is strong enough,
yeah,
to hold a framed picture. That can,
I don't have any problem like hooking
that can attach it, that can attach the breaker box. That would be cool too.
Or even just a strong magnet that is enough to support the wire in the back of the frame, because the frame, I mean, this thing weighs very little. I was thinking like a very thin black border and then just a nice crisp white mat behind it. Or going crazy, it'd be really nice to have like a star field behind it. Probably just white.
Ooh, I like that. Some framer would get really excited about that idea.
Maybe I need to find the local framer that'll get excited about it and be like, here's what I want to do. Let's make some magic happen.
Well, you definitely need to frame it because right now it's like dorm room vibes.
Yeah.
Got it. That's totally fair. I not what I'm going for. And my sister bought me this. I don't remember if there's a good story behind this. I'm glad we had this conversation. We should appreciate this. I need to look and see. I think the name up in the corner, or I should just ask her. Artist who was doing like did four shuttles, person of color, and so was saying like, hey, like before Christmas, I was like, hey, go ahead and like retweet this. And my sister retweeted and I was like, dang, that is just beautiful. Because I've seen Atlantis in person, and Atlantis was the first shuttle I saw launch in person. I've seen where it's stored in Kennedy Space Center, and I have like an emotional relationship with that spacecraft. So when she sent it to me and I opened it, I was just like, you know, I was very moved by it. So it was very a very thoughtful gift. So yeah.
Well, then it definitely deserves a frame.
Yeah, it definitely deserves a frame then. And it's a great print. So like,
yeah.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's like, look at just like the power it feels like. Oh, I feel like I need to represent it better, because as the shuttle breaks through, like, I mean,
look at viewer, that. we're now looking at a poster.
Yeah.
Yes. Those of you who are audio only, we are looking at Gary's poster of the Atlantis shuttle. I think it would be super cool if you got one of those super strong magnets and found a way to mount those magnets onto the back of the frame so that you didn't actually need to punch a hole in the wall, that it just attached to the breaker box, and then, but it completely hid the breaker box. And then you could just, when you needed to access it, you just bunk, lift it off.
Well, for that matter, it could be that they are,
my favorite part of Disenchantment is the fact that they do their own sound effects when they're doing things.
Is there a new season out?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. I knew there was one coming, and I've been struggling with what to watch on Netflix.
So what's the stupid demon's name? He'll be like, that's the best thing, is that they don't use Foley. They just speak their Foley. Sorry, I interrupted you, Gary. Very.
If you're looking for something bright and cheery to watch, we're watching Ozark.
I don't know much about Ozark, but I know it's not bright and cheery.
We watched the documentary on Netflix about Bubba Wallace, and from that we went into this horrid show on Apple TV Plus. I can't remember the name of it, but the premise, even just explaining the premise to my oldest, he was like, "What? That's crazy." And the premise is that you have like one set of memories at work, and then when you leave work, you have your external memories. So you basically have an inner person at work and an outer person. Oh, I know. Oh, it's so dark. It's so uncomfortable. But I thought the whole season was there. We got three episodes in and are totally engaged. You're like, oh, next episode comes out on Thursday. Damn it. Because like,
is that the new thing that they're pushing in my face? Hold on, that's up. Like M. Night Shyamalan. Shush.
I you know what?
Is the director or producer or something? Let me see if I can find it.
It's Severance is what it's called.
Severance, yeah, that's the one.
That's M. Night Shyamalan.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not M. Night Shyamalan. Let me see if I can find Severance.
It's on Apple TV, you said?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. It is M. Night Shyamalan.
It is on Apple TV, is what I was saying.
Okay.
We're confirmed it is on Apple TV.
Yes. It's for what it's worth, too. I'm not somebody who like really gets excited about
Ben Stiller is executive producer.
Great visuals. But this has them. There are some just striking visuals.
Yeah, no, there's a different thing that's M. Night Shyamalan, however you say his last name. That is on Apple TV, but there's not this. This is Ben Stiller.
Oh, it's so like so dark. And so to counteract,
good to know.
We've also been rewatching.
Do you have something that's like a palate cleanser that you
watch? IT Crowd. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, IT Crowd, which is so dumb. It's great.
We're on season 4 of The Good Place that we're kind of sort of watching with the kids. When they deign to join us after they rapidly consume their dinner. My daughter is into it, or she'll stay and watch most things with us, but my son is far more interested in shoving food into his face and then escaping upstairs so that he can milk the most out of the remaining time he has on the computer that he can.
So is your, what time you eat, do you eat a late dinner as a family?
We have been eating late dinners as a family because just schedules.
Yeah, we eat a very early dinner because schedules.
Yeah.
And
there's certain things that we can't do early because on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Erin has aerials at 7:30. So she leaves at 7 and doesn't get back until like 9. So we can't really eat before that because you don't want to eat before doing that, before flipping upside down and doing lots of really, like, unless you want to vomit on the floor.
mean, it's a different type of performance.
Yeah, but. Yeah. And then on Wednesdays is D&D, and we usually end around 8, but after 8, there's, like, people hang out for a little bit. And also, like, you know, unless we've, like, crock-potted something, then we don't necessarily have something, like, ready to go. So I'll need to, like, at least have some amount of time to microwave something or whatever.
Oh, I have to tell you all on the trick I pulled. My parents were in town this weekend. I'm Googling something so I don't describe this incorrectly. Okay, it was. I made chili. And so, you know, my parents are going to expect ground beef and chili. So Thursday morning before they came into town, I went out and bought a pound of impossible beef. Impossible beef? Is that what it's called? Impossible meat.
Impossible meat.
Yes, but the ground beef patty they
have. Yep, I've had. Yeah, patties or just the straight ground?
Just the brick. Yeah, the brick. It sounds so great. A brick of meat. Yep, a brick. Yeah. Yep, brought that home, tossed it in the pan, told Rhonda and no one else and made the chili that way. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, no one knew any better. I mean,
yeah.
Not in chili.
Yeah, yeah, for sure not in chili. I've done both Impossible and Beyond. And my preference for as far as flavor is Beyond.
Yeah.
I feel like Impossible tastes a little bit more like middle school school lunch burger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that bad. It definitely tastes meaty. It doesn't taste bad, but it definitely has more of that, like, this isn't the best. Whereas Beyond is a lot better.
If you're going to work, if you're going to, you know, drop it in fast food replacements, it's probably the ideal.
Yeah. Flavor. Yeah.
You don't want it to taste too good.
Something. But the benefit that I've seen, because I've gotten Impossible as patties, and I've also gotten it in, like, just the ground. And mm-hmm. I end up using the burger patties as, like, sort of like meatballs anyway. Yeah. So I'll get the patties, and then I'll, like, in the frying pan, I'll, like, chop them up into tiny pieces and then toss them into, you know, pasta sauce or something. And not having to do that was nice.
I did find, like, I didn't really like how it cooked. Mm. But I also don't know, because I started with, like, it wasn't totally thawed. So I'm not sure that wasn't part of the reason that I did get some, like, more sticking in the pan than I expected, but
yeah, it does stick.
It wasn't significant. It could have.
I also really like,
I start with frozen ground beef as well. So
I also really like the Beyond sausages. Mm. They have a spicy, like, Italian sausage, and they have like a normal, like, Polish sausage sort of thing.
Do you have a favorite breakfast sausage?
No.
Okay. Katie was looking for one, and we went and looked at both the refrigerated and the frozen section at our local, like, decent grocery store. And they had one that was, like, apple maple mushroom. And I think she was like, I don't think that's going to work for me, Dad. I'm like, well, let's try it, you know? But she's like, no. And then in the frozen section, there was nothing. So, which is fine. I mean, she wanted, like, sausage, like, links. There's a good sausage patty she likes, but I get it, you know?
Yeah, I haven't found a really good sausage of that variety, like a breakfast sausagey thing. I've had, like,
we just use the Beyond ones.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I would do too. And that's what I often, I'll toss it into, like, you know, the omelets that we make.
Here's where she likes it. So when we do breakfast for dinner, we will often do like. Here's some scrambled eggs. Here's like, you know, bacon or sausage or whatever. And she's like, I really want a sausage link. And sausage mm-hmm. patties are fine. They're close enough. But she's really, like, hankering for a sausage link. Mm-hmm. So I will keep looking. There's a place downtown I need to go poke my head in and ask. There's a restaurant in downtown Concord that's full vegan menu. So I feel like they might have some ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Our vegan restaurant also sells things, so sometimes you can just.
Yeah, I wonder if this place does, because we've only ever done DoorDash. So.
Yeah, there's a
in there.
There's a place by us that makes all their own cheese, and so they'll sell the cheese that they make, which is pretty cool. We haven't actually gotten that, but we've had the cheese on stuff when we've gotten stuff there.
By the way, we did the thing where we were walking into town and then we realized all the signs had changed because of the filming that's happening.
Yeah.
So we were like, I was just like, what's that? I was like, is that a new, there's like a historical sign for the town and they put a thing over it for the history of the fake town. And then the post office is all different. And I was just like, I can't handle this. It's just too weird.
I love that in our Slack, Allison posted an article and there was a picture of an alien. And I'm like, I think I might notice that walking downtown, but like only with like 75% certainty. There's a 25% chance I might walk past that person and be like,
in this town, who knows?
Yeah. Oh, love small town.
Yeah, I didn't get that much to context to what I was posting. I was just like, this photo works.
I'm like, all right.
Was that the article? I think that was the article that was like really more about like what the shooting schedule was. So yeah, like I went into it like, and on Monday this street is going to be closed. I'm like, cool.
It's for locals. It's the Ladysmith Chronicle.
I love that. I don't know what it's called here, but I love that newspaper and I follow it on Twitter in Concord because it's like, yes, the road closures are important. Whenever a pipe breaks, like, oh, you're darn right, I know about it.
It's like there's another there's been like numerous accidents down by the harbor and we've started thinking it's like the town for Murder, She Wrote, or it was like, what's going on down there?
What are they doing in there?
My favorite is when there's like some kind of property that's being developed and all they can do is describe it as the old ... as though that's meaningful for anybody that's been like not been here for a decade, right?
We were getting directions for someone. He was just like, you know, it's where the Sears used to be. And I was just like,
I don't.
I don't know.
Have I told you about the cemetery at the mall here?
Cemetery at the mall.
Oh, yes. This is so cool. But not like cool.
I would watch cool. that show or read that book.
is this like the lead in to like a horror a teenage horror movie where they get locked in the mall and cemetery. the zombies from the cemetery that's apparently at the mall just like invade the mall and they have to like fight them off in the mall. Is this what that movie is?
No,
so I'm Concord, scripting the no. entire thing now.
Yeah, it's okay. It's Concord is somewhat of an old town in the South, like. A lot of churches here like claim their start shortly after the Civil War, to give you an idea of age around here. And so the interstate goes north of Old Town Concord, but Concord had huge city limits. And so back in the like late 70s, early 80s, when malls were popping up everywhere at this exit, it's like, well, this is where we're going to develop a mall. And it was nothing. I mean, it was not nothing. There was like a family cemetery and lots of open land and, you know, some developer finally came in and made an offer. The family was like, okay, but part of the terms are the family cemetery has to say exactly where it is. And so when they finished their planning, it turned out that it was going to be right in a section of the mall. So the mall is like, if you look overhead, it's like a rectangle, except there's a part cut out. And that is, it's got a fence around it, and that's the cemetery. And so the mall is responsible for cemetery upkeep, and the family can still come and visit family headstones. But you're in the parking lot, and it's like, you're over and you're like, oh, we're by the food court. And you can walk in the Chick-fil-A, but just around this brick wall, it's the cemetery. It's maybe like
so fascinating.
25, 30 headstones. Oh, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool.
Are people, so it's like a heritage graveyard, not new people aren't being buried there.
I don't believe so, but it doesn't, I mean, it looks like there is space for that.
Should like, they want?
I definitely, they're I definitely want to do in. Something with this as the setup. Yeah, this is definitely going into fiction of some variety.
Oh, take it! And I'm happy to provide photos
late at night.
Yeah, for sure.
I would assume that like the gating probably had to be there to keep people from, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah.
It's this, and of course, like, you know, this mall came up and the Sears was there and I don't even know what else, but I mean, you know, now the mall is like, it's not what it was. And of course we're new in town, so we never saw it for what it was. We just see it as it is now. And it's like, there's the movie theater, but like who's going to a movie theater these days, right? Like, gross. And, you know, so there's not a lot happening there. But I do, the first, when I first read about it, I'm like, all right, kids, field trip. How interesting is this? And they're like, it's a little weird, Dad.
And you're like, that's yes, my brand.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, Charlotte is 4 today. And I realized saying that, if Chris had not discovered our counting error, I think today would have been like, how are we in season 3 when I think today would have been the day we would have been like, something
about that too.
Rotten in Denmark. Yeah.
I was like, 2018. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. It only feels like a lot longer or something.
Well, she's one of my favorite guest stars that pops in.
Yeah. Today, Rhonda, my sister-in-law's out of town, so they had to take care of her cat. And they went to, there's a Krispy Kreme that has, you know, Krispy Kremes that have like the conveyor set up that does like the local supply. You can look in the glass. So that's the donut factory as far as Charlotte is concerned. So they got to go to the donut factory, which magical. And then the mall, not the mall with the cemetery, like the outdoor mall, but not really. I don't know. There's another mall, which
I love that as the differentiation of malls, because usually it's like, oh, the one with the movie theater, the one that doesn't, or like the one with the, I don't know. The first thing that came to my mind was hot dog on a stick. So that shows something about me. One that doesn't or something.
One with the Dyson Spheres. Yeah. Yeah.
Where the Sears used to be.
Right. No Sears at this one because it's too new to have a hat of Sears. But there is a Build-A-Bear there. So Charlotte got to Build-A-Bear today.
Nice.
Which if you're 4 is like pretty rad. You know?
Well, you're basically getting a new best friend.
I mean, creating.
For the next... You know? 2 years.
Oh, if it lasts that long, it's a great investment. I mean, whatever. You know, great. The joy of building it today in the next few days. Perfect. Whatever. It's great.
Sounds like a great birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one about why my parents were in town for the weekend. It was fun. Oh, it's good to see him, but good to see him leave. Yep.
You have a traditional birthday cake / dessert / something that you make?
No, we always do. We jump from weird thing to weird thing.
Nice.
So it also falls that like Charlotte's birthday is today. Katie's birthday was last Sunday. Right in the middle is Georgia, the younger cat. So Katie proposed we should have a catacorn party. So, you know, we had unicorns and cats and some catacorns, and I wore a unicorn thing for much of the day. We did like a small outdoor party on Saturday and invited some one family from 4-H and then the choir director from the Episcopal Church that Rhonda likes. And so
my niece calls the horn of a unicorn the corn.
Okay. Yes.
And so I've started kind of adopting that whenever it's come up. I'm like, because like we were playing unicorns or something, and she's like, no, your corn goes here. And I was like, yeah.
Sure. Unique. And it's, yeah, one. Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be a rhinoceros.
Yeah.
Or something. Triceratops. I'm not sure which.
Triceratops.
Yeah. So I put it on when people started showing up and just forgot it was there until I went to scratch my head 2 hours later. Like, yes. I mean, I don't. It's fine. It's fun.
Wow, tis the season for birthdays then.
Yeah, sort of breaks that way, doesn't it? Yeah. Tyler's is in August, so never.
Summer kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like that everybody's got opinions about when their birthday. Like summer kids are like, nobody could ever come to my birthday because it was in the summer and everyone was away, or like.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, we were hoping for like a nice, like day, like today, the sun is out. I'm sure you can tell with my side lighting, clear off my glasses, but like the sun has decided to embrace us. And, Saturday it was still like, it's like 55, which would have been okay if the sun was out, but it was 55 with like overcast and like
very
humid. It wasn't raining, but it was like threatening to. So I had like two heaters on tripods we put outside, and I mean, people were allowed to go inside if they wanted, but generally was like, let's keep the party outside and like, then we can, you know, interact, but also distance. And, you know, everyone that came is very responsible, except for my parents.
So since we didn't have a topic today,
I thought we just covered the topic pretty well.
Yeah.
Honestly, just an update from Gary. What the hell's going on, Gary?
It's Gary's corner.
I have two things. I have two things that I can steal from my favorite podcast. Yeah. That I listen to. This is my brother and me. And your choice, I'm not going to tell you what the options are.
Yeah.
Your choice.
Oh, shit. Is this the segment this, where you never finish a sentence?
This or that. And if you agree on this or that, I will proceed to bring in whatever the corresponding bit from is. Because I have two pages, I have two tabs open in my browser. One of them is for this, and one of them is for that. And I know I know what they are, but so you have to pick this or that.
That.
Yeah.
That. That.
Yeah.
That. Settle on that. Okay. That. Okay. So
Gary has an A in his name, and my name starts with A.
Okay. Great. Okay. That so that is WikiHow. So. We are going to pick a random, not really that random, WikiHow article, and WikiHow, in the last 10 minutes, we're
Does
going
Wiki to WikiHow exist. Let's take a breather on that.
I mean,
that's
might.
Not a bad idea.
This is how to know if a girl likes you.
Fuck if I know.
So many options. Made you a mixtape.
she glances your way, laughs at your jokes, and acts nervously around you. You're not sure if she's flirting, being friendly, or simply uninterested. Whether you've had a crush on a girl for ages and are dying to know if the feeling's mutual, or you just want to know if she likes you for curiosity's sake. What does that mean? There are a few nearly foolproof
that
signs.
Stings a little bit, honestly. In
nearly foolproof signs that the girl likes you.
Yeah.
If you ask her if she likes you and she says yes.
That's a good clue. That's not step one, or it's not the first way.
Number one, WikiHow right now.
Understanding body language cues. Look for open body language. When a girl likes you, she will face in your direction. If a girl has her torso turned towards you in an open manner, this means that she is confident talking with you. If she has a closed body position, namely crossed arms or legs, she may be shy or nervous to talk to you, or she may be simply creating a barrier to signal that she is uninterested.
Just as an aside, in my head, I'm substituting she for your mechanic. It's making it a lot more fun thinking about my mechanic.
I have so many issues with this.
Pay attention to eye contact. If a girl likes you, she will tend to hold her gaze on you for a few seconds or glance down the moment your eyes make contact with hers. I feel like this only happens in movies. The whole like looking at each other and then looking down. Maybe it's been a long time since I've experienced that.
We just say that like making eye contact and facing someone when you're talking to them are very low bars.
You are not aggressively like scaring this person. Like is my takeaway.
When a girl likes you, her pupils might dilate, though this will be hard to tell.
Great, she takes drugs. Got it.
This is horrible.
Three, notice if she touches you or tries to get closer. When a girl likes you, she will often try to touch you, as this is a noticeable yet still subtle way to flirt. It allows a girl to size up how responsive you are. She may touch your arm when you say something funny, accidentally, in quotations, brush your shoulder or hands with hers, or gently place her hand on your knee. I feel like placing your hand on someone's knee is basically first base. Like,
my dental hygienist likes me.
Especially if you're just standing there.
All right, so then we have pay attention to whether she randomly hugs you. This is especially significant if her random hugs are reserved mostly for you. See if she mirrors your moves. If a girl imitates you, for example, if you run your fingers through her hair, notice her do the same a few seconds later. She may be subconsciously mirroring your movements.
That's what people do anyway.
Right, yeah, totally. notice if she's playing with her hair.
My mechanic walks out though and is like, "Hey, here's your air filter." Like,
look for signs of nervousness or fidgeting. Notice she smiles around you. There's a whole bunch of things. Okay, method two, picking up on
other
signs.
Wait, that was just method one?
Yeah, that was just method one.
Yeah.
That was just method one. Method two, picking up on other signs of flirting. Be receptive to compliments. If a girl compliments me, she could very well like you. This may be her way of making you feel desired. She might say things like, "You have amazing eyes," or "So you're so athletic. Do you play any sports?" Neither of which have ever happened to me.
Or making conversation.
Or making conversation, yeah.
Acknowledging existence.
Acknowledging existence, making eye contact, facing.
Yep. Observe her friends' reactions. If you see most of her friends glancing back at you and smiling or giggling, this probably means she has told her friends about you and they're in the know.
Also, it means you're 14 years old.
I think a lot of this stuff falls in that category. Notice her style. When a girl likes you, she'll often try to impress you with her style.
Yeah, of course, naturally.
She may choose to wear slightly revealing clothes or put on lipstick to catch your eye.
Or potentially gold flake lip balm.
Gold flake lip balm, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true. A woman's appearance is always for other people.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm skipping
so
down.
Bad, I can't handle it.
Skipping down, look for damsel in distress moments.
What number is this?
This is seven. I skipped down to seven. Step seven in method two. Yeah. Damsel in distress moments. If a girl likes you, she might pretend to be mildly vulnerable situation and test your response. You can test her interest by asking her for help. Notice how she acts around others. Then we have method three. Finally, we're getting to the being direct about your interest.
Should be method one.
Yeah, but the first step is not to ask if she likes you. The first step is to smile at her
and make eye contact.
Yeah, strike up conversation. Be attentive. These are just like things you do with normal humans.
These are just like actual just conversational listening techniques.
Here we go. Method three, step four, suggest that you like her. And then it has a link to another WikiHow article, which is tell a girl you like her without being rejected. Which might have been the one I should have picked.
I'm not hopeful that one would have much better content.
No.
Then ask her out is the next step, and then be receptive to her signals. Back off if you get the sense that she actually doesn't engage or doesn't like you or engage in a flirty banter if you sense there is mutual interest. If you've gotten this far and you haven't figured out that she doesn't like you, probably you're the target audience for this WikiHow article.
A board game. We're not in Candyland. Like, if you've gotten this far,
I like that you said Candyland because I was thinking like a much more complex board game, like Risk or like
Back to One,
Mars or something. But
it's not the game of life.
Have you played the new version of that, by the way?
No.
Of Candyland?
Life.
No.
You get like a debit card that goes into a little portable ATM thing,
and they still make you get married.
I don't.
It was always one of the timeline things you had to hit.
Yeah. I don't think it's. I'm trying to remember. There, you stop at it, and I think you spin for it. Maybe. I don't recall.
Does it spin for the number of partners that you have, or?
No, it's like if it falls in this range. Yes. No. I don't remember.
We also had the Star Wars version of Life, which I enjoyed more because it was basically like the path of being like.
But yes.
If you're good or bad, and I was more into that.
I'm so torn on Star Wars these days. I don't even know why.
Yeah.
I just feel like it oversimplifies everything. Like, why isn't the world were Star Wars? But it's more, it's like the crappy version of Star Trek.
Those frightening words.
Not Star Wars. I mean, the world is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's community questions. community Q&A.
For this article?
Yes.
Who wrote this? And what qualifications do they have?
I think that the general idea is that there are no necessarily qualifications for a lot of these WikiHow articles. What's a good one? Where's the one? Yeah. What does it mean if she says you're weird or laughs at your stupid jokes? This definitely happened to me. I was definitely weird in telling lots of stupid jokes.
What does it mean?
What does it mean, Allison?
I don't know.
It's the foremost expert.
Being a girl, you are our expert on what.
I mean, it could go violently two directions. It could be like, you're weird, nervously because there's a sense of danger.
Yep. The correct answer, or the community responded answer, is it sounds like she could definitely be attracted to you. You're weird can be a compliment if she's laughing or smiling when she says it, which is probably true 50% of the time. So, you know,
think on this article that percentage holds true, Chris. Maybe across the entire world. Yeah. But the person asking this question in this case, I'm leaning with very different eyes.
That's true.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.